From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Adeline Baxter with this local and regional news update. Sea Alaska announced its biggest dividend in decades to shareholders with ties to Southeast Alaska. Thousands live in the Inside Passage, and there's a tradition to take shopping trips to larger communities like Juneau. As KHNS's Claire Strempel reports, gaps in ferry service means many aren't able to make the trip.
Sea Alaska distributed $8 million to shareholders on Friday. Albert Kukesh III lives in Angoon, where he's the city's clerk. He says he usually spends a night or weekend in Juneau when he gets his check.
Yeah, we go over on a Thursday, do our shopping Friday, come back on a Saturday.
The capital city has larger retailers like Fred Meyer and Costco.
You get basically 16 good hours of shopping in, and then you jump back on the ferry the next day.
But this year, he'll likely have to shop online, if at all. Angoon has no ferry service since the Lakonti was taken out of service abruptly over a $4 million repair bill. With seaplanes charging around 85 cents a pound on freight, flying back with goods wouldn't pencil out. It's a similar story for Haines, Skagway, Gustavus, Hoonah, Tenneke Springs, and Cake. All are operating on a reduced ferry schedule. More than 2,000 Sea Alaska shareholders live in outlying communities near Juneau. They're usually likely candidates for capital city shopping sprees.
You're not going to buy a giant flat screen and then stick it on the airplane.
Craig Dahl from the Greater Juneau Chamber of Commerce says lack of ferries is bad for business. He says Native Corporation dividends, much like the PFD, give the Southeast economy a shot in the arm.
No, I've been here a long time and certainly enjoy and appreciate the impact when people do distribute this ton of money. It's important to the merchants.
The 3,500 shareholders in Juneau should give local businesses a boost. And local merchants in outlying communities may benefit if shareholder spending stays close to home. Sea Alaska CEO Anthony Malott says the corporation is more than just dividend checks. They're working to keep the Southeast region connected by ferry service, too.
The ferry budget is a top priority for us, whether it's just, you know, letter writing, whether it's being up in the halls of our legislature. We've done all of it.
State officials are working on restoring ferry service to affected communities. But for places like Angoon, the added sailings won't be until next month at the earliest. Reporting in Haines, I'm Claire Strempel.
David Teal has been the go-to source for nonpartisan analysis of Alaska's state budget for more than 20 years. That will end next month, when Teal retires. And budget experts say Teal's work will be missed. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman talked with Teal and others about his work.
When legislators argue over what to do about the state's budget, they've long turned to Teal. His office's job is to provide lawmakers with facts, minus the partisan spin.
You don't give them recommendations. You give them options and the pros and cons of the various options, and they choose. You don't try to influence the choice.
Teal started in the job in 1997, and since then, he's kept to a nonpartisan approach in a state government that's often divided by party.
We're trying to help the legislature have the legislative process, the budget process, be as smooth as possible, get as much information as possible without pushing any agenda.
So Teal has always kept his comments to describing the facts as he sees them.
All we say is, when you have a deficit, you burn through reserves, and you can't do that forever.
Teal will spell out the consequences of cuts. For example, his office developed a chart that got a lot of attention this year. It shows that if the state pays out $3,000 dividends, it would have to eliminate all state funding for most departments of state government to close the gap between what the state spends and what it brings in.
If you want to balance the budget without cutting education, dividends, and Medicaid, you have to cut everything else. And I think information like that's pretty powerful.
Teal's approach has earned him respect from lawmakers who've worked with him. Former Governor Sean Parnell, a Republican, says he's thankful for Teal's service. Parnell worked with Teal when Parnell served as co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee early in Teal's time as director.
I just found him to be smart, professional, understood what his job was, and he did a good job of balancing it, because you get, in that role, you get competing demands from both parties.
Budget observers say it will be tough to replace Teal, Rebecca Braun covered the state budget process as the editor and publisher of the Alaska Budget Report. She later was policy director for former Governor Bill Walker. Braun credits the Legislative Finance Division under Teal with building a consensus over what the facts are with the budget. Braun says that sets Alaska apart from similar debates at the federal level. It allows lawmakers to concentrate on policy rather than argue over the facts.
I think he's one of these people who's like a hidden giant who has so much to do with what goes on, and people just don't see it in not just budgeting, but really in legislators and ultimately, I think, the public's ability to understand the way the state uses its money, where our money comes from and where our money goes.
Braun says she's worried for years about who would replace Teal when he retires.
Hopefully there's somebody who's not just competent, but who's also able to have that temperament where they really can instill trust in so many people.
As for Teal, he says he'll miss being part of the upcoming session, but he predicts it will be difficult as lawmakers again debate the size of the permanent fund dividend. Teal says many lawmakers see a competition for the money that's available to the state between state programs and dividends, but he says recognizing that doesn't make it easy to fix.
But I'm convinced that the law will change, if not this year, then next year or the year after that.
So the analyst who's refrained from offering recommendations for more than 20 years is leaving office making comments that sound a lot like one.
Cuts are harder and harder to find. They need to balance the budget sooner rather than later.
Governor Mike Dunleavy will be releasing his next budget proposal by December 15th. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Climate warming is taking a toll on sea ice off Alaska's northwest coast. Arctic scientists say the Chukchi Sea 2 decades ago would have been teeming with ice by early November. At the moment, it's mostly ice-free. The Chukchi Sea is, in recent years, has seen sea ice appear later because of warmth stored in ocean water. As of last week, sea ice remained about 200 miles offshore. University of Washington scientists on board a research vessel are studying the changes and how less sea ice will affect coastlines, which already are vulnerable to erosion because increased waves delivered by storms. More erosion would increase the chance of winter flooding in villages and danger to hunters in small boats. There are back-to-back storms hitting Alaska's panhandle this week. That means significant rainfall and strong winds are predicted for Juneau. The National Weather Service says Juneau can expect 2 to 4 inches of rain through Thursday morning, with additional rainfall on its way. Aaron Jacobs with the Weather Service says the first storm will bring some gusty winds and a risk of falling debris on steep mountainsides.
But that won't be the end of it because we have another weather front right on its heels that's going to move into the region into Thursday and Friday, which will produce another 1 to 3 inches of rainfall.
Jacobs says there could be a higher risk of flooding in some areas. Rainy, windy weather is nothing out of the ordinary for Southeast Alaska. What makes this year's weather unique is the higher temperatures. Jacobs says November storms like these usually produce more snow, especially at higher elevations.
That has changed in the past 5 to 10 years where we're just not seeing as much fall snowstorms up in the mountains.
Because of the higher risk of landslides, the city and borough of Juneau announced Tuesday that the Flume Trail will be closed temporarily. The city says it will notify the public when the trail reopens. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Adeline Baxter.